Welcome back, dear listeners, to episode number 90 of the MailRight Real Estate Agent podcast show. And I'm super excited to talk to our guest today. He's got a dynamic website and story. His name is Damian Lupo, and he's with Total Control Financial. And we're going to get to him in just a minute. But right now, I'm going to toss it over to Jonathan so he can talk about our wonderful sponsor for the show.
Oh, thanks, Thomas. And our sponsor is the Real Estate Marketing University, where they will show you all the methods that you, a modern agent, need to understand to market your business in 2017. They go through how to set up Facebook, paid advertising campaigns, landing pages, email marketing, all the things that are a bit of a mystery to you, they explain through their courses. So if that sounds interesting, go to their website, realestatemarketinguniversity.com, and tell them that you came to their website because you heard this advert. Back to you, Thomas.
All right. And we're going to go over to Damian. Damian, would you tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to be on the show, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah,
definitely. So I've basically been an entrepreneur since I came out of the womb back when I grew up in Alaska, and it was the survival method of kill or be killed type of thing. And so that just, I don't know, maybe the environment forms us or we form the environment, but I was definitely, I was influenced by it and started businesses. Been doing that my entire life. When I was in high school, I had businesses, and the one that was really the big one that I probably learned the most from was in 2000 or early, even before that, I started in the real estate business, started investing, and spent about almost a decade building up a portfolio around the country, which I think a lot of people did. I went a little bit gangbusters and I was trying to be the next Donald Trump. This is like before President Trump. Yeah. And I thought, I'll be the real estate guy. And so I did that. And seven states later, $20 million. And I went, I am super smart, until 2008 told me, you're not that smart, dude. You kicked my butt. So went through that process and really learned a lot more about the foundation that I was missing and my values and how to create businesses that were sustainable after going through that. Because as we all know, success is a terrible teacher, and it's when we fail and fall on our face and bleed and go through that process that we really learn and grow. And that's what it's all about. So that was the process that led us to where we are today with the company that I'm running and the books that I've written, to really give people what I've learned the hard way by going through it and then giving them a little boost from that really painful way of taking on the wisdom or building the wisdom.
All right. Well, I can't wait to dive into that, but I'm going to let Jonathan introduce himself real quick.
Oh, hi there, folks. I'm the founder of MailRight. We're a marketing software company aimed at helping real estate professionals get the quality leads that they deserve.
And I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in beautiful San Diego, California, where I'm never too busy for your referrals. And I specialize in working with senior citizens, the military, and college dormitories, if you will. Yes, parents buy condos for their kids to get them out of the dorms and into an investment. If you want to know more about that, you can contact me through my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com or find me on social media. All right, let's get back to Damian, because I have like 100 questions for you and not enough time to ask them all. Okay, so first of all, let's go back. You have published 3 books at this point. Is that correct?
There are a couple that are out there. I sort of choose not to send out the very first one, because oftentimes the first time we do something is a disaster. And the first book was the first million I lost in real estate. And the cover I did on PowerPoint, so I just pretend that one doesn't exist.
But I think the story inside is worth a read.
It is.
Okay. And then, you know, obviously I've seen that you've been interviewed on several radio shows and podcasts. And you yourself do a podcast?
I do. I've got one. It's called Black Belt Wealth.
Okay, nice. All right. So what I want to get into first, because there's a lot of things that I found interesting on your website when I was reading through it. But the opener on your website, today's American investor is being conned. Can you dive into that a little? Why are they being conned?
Yeah, they're being conned because it's profitable to con the American investor. I mean, that's the system was set up. And it's interesting because that's not even my quote. That was John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard. And people have heard of Vanguard, the yep. biggest S&P index fund. And he said this. He said that if something is wrong when the system is set up so that 80% of the profits go to Wall Street and then 100% of the risk falls on the investor. That to me, there's something incredibly wrong about that whole system. And so we start off with that. We say, okay, here's the problem. You think it's not affecting you? It's definitely affecting you in some way or form. I mean, unless you're maybe lucky enough to be on Wall Street and get your seven-figure bonuses, it's affecting you in some way, shape, or form. And we want to put it right out there and say, here's the problem and here's how we're going to solve it.
Okay. So it almost sounds like a casino.
That's exactly what it is. It's a Well, what's the pitch? Just come here, hang out, bring your money. And at the end of the thing, maybe you'll have some money. Maybe you'll have some profits. Come on. The casino always wins. The casino is going to have the profits. That's how it works.
So now what is your company doing to disrupt this? How are you going about changing this?
Well, first thing we're doing, guys, is we're putting it right in people's faces and saying, hey, here you're being ripped off. And there's another option. If you want to get off this roller coaster, if you want to exit the casino, you can take your money and you can start investing it your way, in your put it in your hands and make choices where you're in control. I mean, the reason we call the company, we named it Total Control Financial, is because it's the opposite of Wall Street, where you have no control. You can put it in your hands. You've got a checkbook with your money. You still get all the tax benefits and the deferrals and all this kind of stuff like you would with a 401k or an IRA. And all of a sudden, you've got options. You can invest in things like real estate, like condos with college kids. You know, these things that are really powerful that you actually can control and you can touch. Things like precious metals, where you can buy metals and hold it yourself with your 401k money. I mean, how much more control could you possibly have than holding it in your house? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
So now are you kind of going in as a different kind of a broker, or, I mean, do you have a completely different vehicle that you're offering?
It's a completely different vehicle. The typical model on Wall Street and with financial advisors, and there are like six that are amazing financial advisors. I mean, maybe there's seven, but most financial advisors are salespeople. And when people say, well, I'm going to check with my financial advisor, the question I always ask is, well, what is your financial advisor selling you? Not just a thing. Like, we sell a tool to be able to get you off the roller coaster, and then you're in charge. We don't charge a fee based on your assets like every other company pretty much does, where it's 2 or 3%. That's not our model. I hate that model because the system always wins. I want you to win. And so we're structuring ours differently. The reason that everybody does it that way is because it's in the perfect world for an advisor. They end up with $100 million under management of your money, and then they get to have this mailbox money. So they create the passive income that they pitch to you if you'll just stick with them long enough and hold tight and play for the long term. It's a great system for them, but I don't necessarily believe that that's any good for most people.
Mm. You're reminding me of the quote that I might destroy here, but Warren Buffett said that Wall Street's the only place on earth where people that pull up in Rolls Royces take advice from people that arrive on the subway.
That's it.
So, yeah, when you think of it that way, you wonder why we go to these folks for advice when clearly there was things behind the person that got them there in the first place. If they had a better way of doing it, I'm sure they would take it, but it's probably just a status quo thing. Everyone, you know, this is the way it's always been. So this is the way we do it.
It is. And people, it's really fascinating to me because I have a very dear friend that was doing real estate investing with me, and he made a lot of money doing it. He was very successful, had lots of properties. And then he finally said, well, I'm going to sell off my mobile home park and my houses. And he turned his money over to somebody, an advisor. And I said, interesting, why? And he said, because I'm making like 2 to 3%. And I said, well, that's not a bad monthly return. And he said, no, that's the annual return. And I said, why would you do that? You were making 20 to 30% a year consistently, cash on cash, every single year with your properties. And he goes, I just don't want to be bothered. And I think a lot of people have that mindset. Either they can't be bothered, or they feel like it's too complicated. And that's because they've been lied to, and they've bought into this thing that it's super math geniuses that can figure this stuff out. And that's not true. You have an eighth grade education, and you can be a very successful landlord. I really don't believe it's overly complicated, but we've been convinced it is. And that's just to rip us off.
Gosh, you know, because I mean, going back to my other comment is, you had whatever it took to get you to that point. Why all of a sudden do you think then that people buy into that bill of goods? Like, I hit this certain level and now I need to turn things over. Like, why not keep going?
Most people end up having a very strong business brain or a very strong employee brain, meaning they've got skills, tools, and experience in that space. Those skills and tools and experience are really, really different and don't really apply to most of the investment world. Mm-hmm. So if you're really good at marketing and selling in your business, you're not necessarily going to have a clue when it comes to figuring out private equity or doing real estate investing. You've got to learn. It's a different skill set. It's Robert Kiyosaki talks about this in the cash flow quadrant. Yep. It's a totally different mindset and brain that you have to develop. And it's basically like having a weak arm that atrophied that never grew. I mean, you've got to build that muscle up. And if you don't do that, it's like, I've already got the strong left arm. It's full of business muscle. I was a lot of work. It took 20 years. I don't want to do it. So we just turn over. And partially because a lot of us are just too damn lazy to go out there and put the time in to learn and get strong.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I think too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but are we kind of once bitten, twice shy coming out of the greatest depreciation we've ever known in our lifetime? The one that you refer to in your book that took away your fortune?
I think it's funny that it happened in 2008, and that was the third time I'd lost all my money. 2008 was only 9 years ago. And yet when you look around, so many people think, oh, it's bliss and nothing could happen. So there are people, I mean, it took me about 5 years to even think about real estate again because it hurt so bad. Yeah. And that's the biggest problem with failing or falling down really hard is you lose your confidence and you start second guessing yourself. So that does happen. And yet you see this whole new group of people that the new gurus that say, I've never lost money. And I look at them and I go, it's because you started in 2011. You're right. Full of junk. You know, give me a break. Come on. So I like people that have gray hair, no hair. They've been around since the 80s, 90s. And they go, yeah, I've been through four of these cycles. And I go, great. That's who I'm going to listen to. It's a totally different perspective.
You know, that's one of the things when people talk about USP and what makes you unique and, you know, realtors are a dime a dozen. I just tell people that are interviewing more than one realtor, ask them when they got in the business. Because I've been in since 99 and never left. So you know what I went through and I'm still here. Ask them when they got in. Because I agree with you. It's easy to have that wisdom post, the great depreciation is what I call it, let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, from your point of view, for us in San Diego, I'm going to say it actually started in 2007 because that's when we started seeing it in the real estate market in force. I did my first short sale in 2007. So my question to you is, from your perspective, what happened back then? What happened to this country?
I think what happened to this country was probably a very similar thing that happened to me. We all thought we were super smart and we weren't looking at fundamentals. We weren't looking at reality. We were thinking that all of a sudden gravity didn't apply to us, that everything went straight up. And there was this sense that we could do no wrong. And for a while, you really couldn't. The problem is everybody was at the casino doubling down over and over again, and they weren't being anywhere near rational. So there is a million parties that were part of this whole thing. And the biggest thing that I focus on today that I wasn't thinking about back then is self-responsibility. It's my number one value out of the six that drive every decision I make and everything for my company. And I just feel like there was a lack of self-responsibility. You look at all the fingers that got pointed at everybody.
Yep.
Very few people will say, yeah, it was me. I can tell you today that my failures, my flops, my disaster was me. Nobody else, just me.
Well, ownership of it is the beginning of, you know, the education to get past it and never repeat it. If you keep blaming other people, then you were never at fault. You never did anything wrong. So how are you going to learn? You know,
that's right.
I agree. I saw that a lot in the market. I mean, everyone started blaming the appraisers. Then they started blaming the lenders. Then eventually the realtors got blamed because we didn't have a crystal ball and we didn't warn them. You know, I mean, in a sense, we saw it coming, but we didn't believe it was coming.
That's true. There were people that I think a lot of people would choose to say it's not coming because they were doing so well in the process of it. And so they kind of just avoided it. And Peter Schiff talked about it and was warning people years before. People didn't listen to him. They laughed at him. They thought he was crazy. And I had a lot of respect for him going out there. And the thing is, if you're early, you may as well be wrong because you get ostracized out into the darkness and people basically say you're a fool. And he was willing to stand up and say that. I have the same feeling about now. There's going to be another cycle. There's just too much blissful, bubble-headed thinking, and we've got to be careful about that.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you think is the difference this time around? Because, I mean, we've been talking about it in the real estate industry for about a year now that, you know, we kind of saw a plateau coming this year, and we haven't seen it show up yet, not even with the Fed hike, which, you know, got countered already. But I mean, what do you think's the cause of it this time around?
Well, ultimately, we're going to have a situation where the rates are either going to stay pretty flat or they're going to move up. There's no more rates going down. And that's been a huge stimulus. When you have rates going down, there's an inverse relationship with pricing going up, because for the same income, people can afford more house. Right. And when the houses are going up in value because people are pushing demand for a limited amount of supply and the supply is not keeping up for that demand, then it's naturally going to keep, it's going to keep people feeling wealthier. They're going to be pouring money into the stock market. You've got all these companies that are putting a ton of their own earnings back into their shares by buying shares. So people have the wealth effect of the markets. So there's this blissfulness. It ends because eventually these companies have a problem. They're not going to have the earnings to keep feeding into their share prices. And the rates aren't going to drop. They're going to go up, if anything. We're scheduled for two more rate hikes this year. Right. And if you think about how low the rates are for the 30-year mortgage, the 10-year treasury, if they go up another 50 basis points, you're talking about people's payments going up 10, 15% potentially, because our rates are so low. And we're in wholesale land. So you go up 10 or 15%, people's incomes aren't going up 10 or 15%. So what does that mean? It means that the prices of the houses have to drop, or they're going to stall. And if they stall, there's not turning. If there's not turning, you got a huge problem, and it's called a recession.
Right. But, you know, and then to be fair though, I mean, if they, even if they do come down, they're still at a level, and at least here in San Diego, where, you know, even if they had to come down a few percent, they're still making good money because people have the equity. Most of the people selling right now are selling with a serious amount of equity because they bought so long ago, and a lot of them hung on through the whole depreciation market. Because, you know, we vetted out the majority of our foreclosures and short sales over the previous 10 years. Jonathan, yeah. You guys a comment?
Yeah, I got a controversial comment to make.
Okay, let's do all it. Right.
The value of the property in your area, what was the average value of a property in your area, Thomas, in 2011 to now?
I would have to look up the number, Jonathan, but I mean, I'm seeing San Diego about the mid 500,000s right now.
And what was it in 2011?
I would have to make an educated guess that it was in the fours at that point, because 2011 is the fourth quarter of 2011 is when I started experiencing the very first multiple offers on traditional sales, not on short sales. Now, we had multiple offers on foreclosures and short sales, but that was all the investors lining up.
So let's say at the height of the recession, let's just take a figure, let's say 350 or something, all right? I surmise that is actually the real value of property. That was the market adjustment decision on the real worth of a property at the height of that recession. And anything over that you're seeing now is just bubble. Because traditionally a property should go up by 3% per year. That is the traditional model, the sustainable model, because the inflation is normally around that level. So when wages are stagnant, the only way people can buy that property is obviously to go to their go to the person that's lending them money and borrow more money. I would suggest that if you're buying property and you can't put enough principal to enable you to withstand a collapse to the 2011 level, you're going to be in trouble next time.
Well, and to your point, when we think about real estate in a different way and stop worrying so much about what the value is and thinking about what the property does in terms of an asset, because if it's paying us, if it's a rental property, then it's really an asset. If it's just something we're buying because we're going to flip it, that's not an asset. We're just playing a casino game. We're hoping that things are going to keep moving in the same direction. We're turning into a lemming herd. But when you play the actual investor, when you actually go into something where you're looking for cash flow, that's what pros do, and they use fundamentals. You don't care if the market drops 10, 20%, 30%,
right?
Because you're looking at, will this property still be supported by the local economy and the income that people have that they can pay rent with. And if it can, then you sleep well at night. You don't worry about the next news report. You don't worry about Lehman's or who gets elected president. It doesn't matter that much. And that's the difference between investors and speculators.
Yep. I'd agree with that, because I'll tell you what kept me afloat during the 07 to 11 markets were all the investors that dove in and were having a field day because they had the cash. They could buy it wholesale or less. They would do the 5-day sales price. They go in and broom it out and relist it and sell it to wholesalers most of the time. And then the wholesalers would still be able to have enough margin to sell it to an end user or to have one of their faux auctions. But, you know, so there was a, you know, there's a market for everyone. So when, you know, to your point, Damien, when that market collapsed, there was a whole new group of buyers out there in force that if you were savvy enough to understand what they were doing and talk their language and know their numbers and what they were looking for. You know, I made a pretty good living during those times because I aligned myself with investors rather than principal buyers because they were not out in force. On top of that, helping a lot of people with their short sales so they didn't have to foreclose, you know, but that was a decision I made. Meanwhile, I had colleagues saying, I don't do short sales. And I'm thinking, well, good luck. You know, I don't know what you're going to do for the next few years, but that's all there was.
Well, you, Thomas, you make a great point, and it was smart. It was super smart to be able to adapt and to choose to adapt. This is one of the things that's so sad about many of the people that voted for Trump in the election, that they think that if he's elected, when he got elected, that their jobs would come back. And what they're refusing to do is adapt. It's not that jobs are going more, they're going to China or they're going to India. They're here. They're just going to be going to robots. And that's happening. And if people are unwilling to adapt, just like your colleagues that weren't willing to look at short sales, they're going to get run over. They're going to starve to death. That's the most important thing that we have to be able to do right now, is practice adapting and moving and not sitting still or we're dead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, this, if you're in real estate, just like in a lot of professions, I mean, our industry changes every 3 to 6 months. It's the one industry where I never keep my magazines longer than 3 months because they're out of date, you know? Right. So, that's something that was a lesson I learned, because I had two choices. I could get out of real estate or I could figure out how to stay in real estate. And what was the main focus of real estate during those times? And it might not have been something I was comfortable with or familiar with, but I just went out and retooled, retrained, and called upon some of my old investing skills. Cause that's, you know, I had to remind myself, you know, but long before I had a license, I was buying and holding property and rehabbing property. I was never much a flipper, but I like to rehab and hold property. Cause I like mailbox money. Jonathan, how are we for the break? Are we okay?
Oh, we need to go to our break, folks. And when we come back, we can continue this fascinating. I've got a question to start off when we come back. Be back in a minute, folks.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
We're coming back. It's been a great discussion, a lively discussion. I put my 1 pence worth in. And I want to point out, folks, you don't want to listen to any financial advice that I might give you. You'd be bonkers to do that, folks. Absolutely bonkers. So I've made quite a bit of money, not as much as my co-host or our guest, but I'm very conservative. You also talk about, you've written, I've got the book here, you've talked about gold and silver. Goldfinger. what do you think what is the place of gold and silver in the average investor's portfolio? Where should it be, really?
It should probably be in their closet. I mean, there should be a chunk of the asset base that's in something that's real, in real money. I mean, gold and silver are real money. And there's arguments now for things like Bitcoin. And I'm curious about it. It's still a form of alternative. It's still, you know, it's made up. And the thing I love about gold and silver is it's been consistent for 5,000 years, and there's something inherently valuable about it. And valuable, I mean, just it works. It always has worked. And there was a point where I was convinced that it was going to explode. So I put everything I had left into it, and it worked out really well. I don't advocate that anymore. I think that that's a little bit nuts. I like the idea of having things on the side, having dry powder when we have an opportunity coming, like I think is coming. What I do advocate is having, say, 5 or 10 or 15% of our wealth in it as a hedge, because we can all agree that there's not going to be a stopping of printing. Every central bank in the world is on a free for all. They're printing like crazy. And when they do that, they debase the currency. And when they do that, it makes everything more expensive. And ultimately, you want something that cannot be debased, and that is gold and silver.
Well, I want to actually touch on another one of your vehicles, the QRP, Qualified Retirement Plan. And I got to be honest with you, until I found out you were going to be a guest and started researching your website, I had no clue what a QRP was. So why haven't I heard of a QRP before?
Because it's not profitable. There's one reason you wouldn't know about it. It's not profitable for you to know how to take control of your money, and for your money to no longer be fed by the industry, by the financial advisors, by Wall Street, by the brokerage houses. As soon as you set up your QRP and you move your money from Wall Street, whatever it's in, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, doesn't make any difference. When you move it into your own account, you're going to have a checkbook with your money, and you're going to be in control, and you're not going to have fees like you'd have in the other space. So why would Wall Street ever want to tell you about this vehicle? What they'd rather sell you is insurance, life insurance, stocks, bonds. They want to sell you those things because they make a fortune. You get screwed, but they make a fortune. So you're not going to hear about this. We did this because I was so pissed off at this system. I watched both my parents basically retire broke, and I just see so many people struggling in fear. And this is the land of opportunity. It's not supposed to be the land of bondage. And that's right. What it is. It's like the financial bondage is everywhere. And it just made me mad to the point I thought, I need to share this in a bigger way. So wrote the book so that people could get it and they can go, wow, maybe this is for me. I could actually take control because I'm responsible. How do I do that? And that's the next step, is figuring it out and taking a move away from the control and putting it into your hands.
So let's talk about the QRP, because I mean, is the QRP itself a product, or is it just a description of how you're repackaging existing investments? How does it work?
It's essentially a vehicle. It's like if you got in your car and you had your trunk, and your trunk was full of investments. It was full of real estate, titles to properties. It was full of gold. It was full of whatever. That's your stuff. What we're doing is we're offering you the vehicle. We're offering you the car, and we're offering you the instructions on how to drive the car. So if you've never driven a car before, let's just pretend you're 10 years old. You didn't live on a farm in Montana, and you'd never driven anything. You don't know. You look at the car and you go, that's cool, but what do I do with that thing? So we provide the car, and then we give you instructions, but you're still responsible for going out there and choosing what you're going to invest in. And then when you find the thing that makes sense to you, you write the check and you own it. I mean, it's really that simple. It's not overly complicated. Wall Street likes to keep everything complicated so you feel stupid and you don't ask questions. So they say, don't worry, we got you. Yeah, they got you. They got your money.
Yeah. Well, let's do the pros and cons. So what would be, we've talked a little about the pros. So what are the cons of this, or are there any?
Well, the cons are that you're responsible for it. So you don't have a person or a team necessarily supporting you like you might with a brokerage firm. What you do have is you have us, and we're keeping you apprised of what the rules are, how they change, and making sure that you don't do something stupid. Although it's still up to you. If you are reckless, if you can't balance your checkbook, this would be a terrible idea. Okay. And that's what people need to realize, that this is not something where they're going to be babysat and get their 1% in the bank or whatever. There's an opportunity here, but it is only for people that are seriously self-responsible.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good point to make, because the impression shouldn't be that you're hiring a consultant or an advisor. But to what extent do you help? Like how do you come into play in the support role?
Basically, what we do is we provide all the documentation. We get people set up so that they end up, when they finish the process with us over a couple of weeks, they end up with a checkbook, and they can put their money that was stuck in Wall Street, they can put it in that account, and they can invest however they want. And what we're going to do is provide them the guidelines on, here's what you can't do. And basically, that's what the IRS does. The IRS says you cannot do these things. and that's it. They don't tell you what you can do. So as long as you're not doing the things that are disqualified and they're really black and white, it's when you get certain people get super creative and they're the ones that are going to get hammered by the IRS. So this is a place where you want to be very, very smart, which means don't get stupid creative. And we provide a lot of the follow-up and a lot of the support. And we have tax attorneys that are part of our team that are literally free for our customers that they get to talk to and work through their planning and their structuring. So it's a great value for people. They don't have to go out there and just hope they're making it work correctly. They actually have us backing them up and not taking their money the entire time just to say hi.
Okay. So what would be a prerequisite to coming to you? Like at what level am I, if I come to you?
Well, it's interesting because some people go, okay, well, I only have $20,000, $30,000, or I only have $100,000, or whatever, there's this number. And I said, well, here's the thing, because of the options inside the qualified retirement plan, the QRP, let's say you wanted to do real estate investing. Here's one of the coolest things that's out there that most people don't know about. We've heard about things like self-directed IRAs, and people go, I can invest in real estate with those. Well, here's the problem. Self-directed IRAs, you can only contribute $5,000 a year. And if you invest in real estate and you use debt, you get it taxed, even right. though it's a tax-deferred vehicle. That's a big problem because real estate's really great if you can use debt. I mean, it's just massive, the leverage. With the QRP, you can go out there, one, you can contribute 10 times more. You can contribute over $50,000 a year into the plan. And two, you can go buy real estate, use debt, have all the profits that you get to keep, and there's no tax. So you tell me whether you want to pay 35, 40% taxes for the same exact vehicle or not. And I'll tell you that it's really obvious what people should be doing. They just don't know about it because the fees with the self-directed IRAs are monumental compared to what you're going to pay and invest in to set up a QRP.
Okay. That's very interesting. So you're getting me curious, but like where financially though, I mean, like you talk about like real estate, REITs and or other platforms where you can invest in real estate, and they have minimums. Is there a minimum that somebody needs to have in disposable income or already invested out there that they need to bring to the table, or do you start with people that are new?
There's literally no limit. It's really the only limit is how you're thinking. Meaning, you could come in and say, okay, I have a lemonade stand. I'm going to save up $1,000. Coming year, I'm gonna put it in my as an option deposit on a piece of real estate, and I'm gonna turn that thing into $100,000. So you've got these options that are unconventional, and what you have to do is you have to start thinking, wait a second, maybe I need to disregard everything I've learned about investing and look at it through a different lens, a different vantage point, and realize it's not about 10% returns. It's about 10x returns. It's about saying it's not about how much money I have. It's how much can I print, create out of thin air. That's the difference in this approach versus the old way of doing things.
So there's a bit of a mindset shift here that I'm sure people need to get over that hurdle. This might be kind of Alice in Wonderland to people that are used to more traditional methods of investing.
Traditionally is great if you want to be broke. If you want to stay poor, then stick with traditional. I mean, with my first deal in 1999, first property deal I bought, I was underwater personally. I had debt. I had some student loans, and I bought the property using my Visa card. So wow. You ask what level people are in. Yeah. Well, I had negative level, and I went out and used Visa, and Visa was my partner. And I bought that property, ended up ultimately over a couple of years making about $40,000 plus. I ended up with a boat, which I don't know if that was good or not, because boats tend to be pretty bad in terms of value. Yeah. Anyways, the point was that it was me thinking up ways to create value, and I printed money out of thin air. It's a mindset shift. It's the context that we have to deal with, not the content, not how much is in my checking account. That doesn't matter. What matters is, do you believe and do you trust in your ability? Do you have the confidence in the right team?
So with a qualified retirement plan, if somebody's on board with it, and it sounded like you said it's about a 2-week process with you, and then you kind of send them on their way with their plan, but is there, do they have you as a resource to come back to over time, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's one of the best things about this. It's not just a certain group that's setting things up and then wishing you well. You literally get to hang out with the centurions. And this isn't 100-year-old people. This is people that have done things for 100 years. So we're teaching and educating people about real estate. And the group of us that are doing this have invested for 100 years combined and have $250 million in transactional experience of our own deals. I mean, that's something that you get access to that is not going to be something you're going to get access to for free anywhere else.
Right.
It's just part of what we do because we want people to be successful. We don't want to just take their money like the Wall Street goons that want to do that. And they don't care if you're successful or not. I don't think that they're bad people sometimes, but I think that they make sure they win every time.
Mm-hmm. That we're going back to the house at the casino. It's set up that way. But that's another soapbox. Let me ask you this, just a housekeeping question. So right now, is this just for people in America or are you global?
It's actually a global opportunity because people can come in and it's because it's essentially a profit sharing plan that's set up. And if you're able to create income in the United States, you have a company, you can set up an LLC or a corp or something here. People can actually benefit from this even if they're out of the country.
Okay. And now do you offer resources? I might've missed this. Like if they did want to set up a corp, do you have the resources to help people do that?
We do. Okay. Internally, we've got that. Yeah, it's basically a one-stop retirement shop. And that's a whole other thing about the idea of retirement, which I tend to hate. It's my next book. It's about reinventing the idea of retirement. But it's if you want to go one place where you don't have to worry about what's being sold to you, it's just straight up candid conversation. That's what we do.
Okay. Now, one other question I have is, I'm excited about this. So I'm going to bring this to my CPA or my attorney and they're going to go, what the heck are you talking about? Do you have any kind of a, opportunity for them to call you up or email you and question you and kind of satisfy their fears?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do that where people will say, my CPA has never heard of this.
Right.
And I said, that's true. Your CPA does what your CPA does well. And that's doing your taxes. Your CPA is focused on small business. Your CPA is not a retirement plan expert. It's a very, very narrow scope set, or, you know, skill set. And most people don't focus on it. So they generally don't know what to do with it. They go, oh yeah, IRAs, you can contribute $5,500 a year. That's the extent of most CPAs, smart CPAs. So there's nothing against the CPA and we are absolutely available to speak with them and educate them, give them a copy of the book and take them through the process to where they can be a more useful asset and the person doesn't have to fire them.
Okay. So in other words, the setting this up properly, we could get them involved in it on the entry level, let's say, and then once we get their understanding and approval, we could move forward and you're okay with that part of the process that it might take a couple extra steps with some people.
Yeah, actually, I prefer that process. I prefer when people have a team. When people come in and they say, I'm going to do everything myself. I'm going to set up my entity. I'm going to do my own taxes. I go, holy cow, do you know what kind of brain damage that is? You are setting yourself up for an aneurysm. Get a team. And you bring your CPA in. You have an attorney or just having these team members. I mean, this is one of the most powerful things. Have the smart. Don't be the smartest. Be the dumb on the team. Yep. I mean, seriously, go out there and hustle, but yep. Be the dumb. Get the smart people that are on your team. Bring them in and we'll be part of that team with you.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I always hire my weaknesses. I don't try to be an expert in everything. That's why I have a great team around me because, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, what about this? And I go, you know what? That's not my department. That's her department. And I love being able to say that.
Brilliant, man. It's smart. So many people want to do everything. They feel like if I can, I should do it because I'm a smart person. This is the problem with being smart. You go out there and you start doing too many things and you end up doing everything average. And then you just get stuck and you go, what's wrong? You.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question, Thomas?
Oh, well, you know what? We share the show with you, Jonathan. Sure, why not?
the obvious question, but a bit of a downer though. How do you make your money and what do you charge to give this fantastic service?
We charge $20 million. No, we charge $2,000 to set the plan up. And then there's an annual compliance fee so that as rules are changing, we keep people in compliance. We make sure that they have the paperwork so they're not chasing it. The biggest problem we found with people, the biggest anxiety was they would set plans up and the people that are setting retirement plans up oftentimes set them up and then they vaporize. They're like in the ether. And so people go, I don't want to use this thing. I'm afraid the IRS is going to come after me. And so we make sure that we've got the resources to do that. And we've got our staff attorneys and things. So I mean, this is what you're paying for. It's a few hundred dollars a year flat. It doesn't matter if you have $20 million in your account or you have $2 million. Now, Wall Street will say, if you have $20 million, then we want you to pay us a few hundred thousand dollars a year. And that would be okay with them. We think that that's crazy because what did they do? Nothing. So that's what we do.
And you mentioned there's some things that the BLESIF Internal Revenue Service would not be happy with if you in this. Can you give just a couple ones that that you really shouldn't consider if you're in this type of scheme?
Yeah, definitely. The thing, the IRS doesn't want you to do anything where you have a personal benefit today. They want you to have a retirement. They really want you. I mean, the government wants you to be successful. This plan is set up. Congress set this up for themselves. So there's a reason that this was set up. It's not so that it's not some crazy loophole. They just don't want you to go consume. So for example, they don't want you to go buy a rental house that you call a rental house. It's actually a vacation property in Florida that you're using. You can't use the house right now. You can't go invest in a wine collection that you happen to consume this weekend. You can't buy artwork. You know, there are things like that are too funky. They say, here's the list, and you can't invest with certain people like your kids or your parents or your spouse. So you've got it. There are certain people that you can't invest with. It's a very narrow list of people and things. And as long as you don't do those things, it's wide open. I mean, it's a 10th of a percent of the options out there and everything else is wide open. So it really isn't that much of a limit. And we tell you what those are and we make sure that you're crystal clear on it.
Oh, that sounds great, actually, because it sounds like they give a very clear list of things that you really you can't basically do.
Exactly.
So if you do that, like you said, that's your responsibility, isn't it?
Right. That's right.
I want to piggyback on Jonathan's question about the IRS. If one of your clients was audited, do you have any participation in that audit as far as helping them?
Yeah, definitely. When somebody has a plan, we've actually, like, their plan is approved by the IRS. So we've got a clearance approval from the IRS. So we make sure that they have all their documentation, that it's squared away. We've told them what to do. So it's not a big mystery. They don't wonder, did I do the right things? If they did what they were supposed to do and we tell them what to do, then they're not going to have any problem. And we're there with them if there's ever an audit. Usually audits happen because people are being way too creative and they're trying to play games. Like, you don't play hide the weenie with the IRS. You just, you know, it's a stupid idea. They're an 800-pound gorilla. And, you know, there are ways with the QRP where you can set it up with a Roth. People have heard about Roth IRAs. Yep. Where it's after-tax money and then you never pay taxes again. You get to do the same thing with the QRP, where you can have this money growing and you can go use leverage like in real estate and never pay taxes again. And there's an even crazier thing that if you inherit something, like let's say you set a plan up and you hired your parents and your parents were doing this and then your parents died and they bequeathed the Roth QRP chunk to you and you're 40 years old. This is a lot of information, but let's say this happens. All of a sudden you have this piece of this chunk of wealth, this cash that you can invest in or spend the rest of your life, which means all of a sudden you don't pay taxes like Donald Trump doesn't. Mm. And that's kind of amazing. So we need to think about some alternatives, because if we keep drinking the same Kool-Aid from Wall Street, we're all going to stay broke.
Amen. I know we're coming up to the end of our show, so I want to give you a chance to let people get in touch with you. What are the best ways to reach out to you, Damian, and your company?
Best, fastest way is to go to totalcontrolfinancial.com. And there's a button at the top right that says free book. Yep. It's the QRP book. Go there, get a copy of the book. If you're interested at all, if this is something that makes you curious, if you go, I don't like the roller coaster, I hate this anxiety, I don't like seeing the green arrows of wealth that I see on the news where the markets are up or they're down with the red arrow and it freaks me out, go there, get a copy of the book and see if you can benefit from this stuff and reach out to me or the team. I mean, we're here. We want people to be free. We don't want you to be in bondage. That's the wrong place for us to go. And so we're here to serve you.
I love the philosophy and just going over your website and your plan. And I actually wanted to compliment you on your values too. I love the books that you posted that you base your values on. Quite a few of them I've read myself. So that was a connection I made with you.
Thank you.
Folks, Damian Lupo with Total Control Financial. I highly recommend you visiting his website, check out his podcast, and get that book. I did. I signed up for it, so I'll be reading that myself. Jonathan, if people want to reach out to you and learn more about MailRight, how can they do that?
Oh, it's quite simple, folks. But first, please subscribe to the show. It really helps the show grow. We're getting better guests, more interesting guests, and that's partly through Thomas's help and my diligence as well. But subscribing to iTunes and leaving us a review really helps the show. And how to get hold of me? It's quite simple, folks. I'm a really very public person. I'm all over the website like a internet like a rash, really. But you can either view my Twitter, my personal Twitter feed at Jonathan Denwood. I'm pretty active there. You can go to the Mail Riot Facebook page and you see all the previous show interviews on there as well. Or you could email me. I do answer my email personally, not straight away, but at least in a couple of days, and that's at jonathan@mail-riot.com.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in beautiful San Diego, California. And you can find me on my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com, as well as social media. I'm predominantly on Facebook and LinkedIn. And again, I want to thank Damien for joining us today. Damien, if you'll stay put for a couple of seconds, we're going to go to a bonus conversation on our video, but we're going to be signing off on the audio portion of our podcast now.
Oh, thanks, folks. See you next week.